Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and a nice summer day here in Florida. We're going to be studying once again from the book of Galatians. And if you notice the title, the sermon is Holding On to the Gospel. Now, our scripture reading this morning came from Ephesians. And I don't know if you always take a look at the scripture reading, but the scripture reading is a very parallel passage to what we'll be studying today from Galatians. And one of the ideas you can see from reading Ephesians and the other writings of Paul is how much in harmony his message was in all of his writings. And definitely that the passage in Ephesians goes exactly with what we'll be studying today in Galatians. And it shows the idea of how they brought the early church together. One of the problems the church faced at the time of writing of Galatians, and if we look last week, Galatians is written, one of the earliest books written in the New Testament. It's written only about 20 years after Jesus goes back to heaven. 10, maybe 15 years before the Gospels were written. So a lot of times we pick up a Bible, we figure Matthew, Mark, Luke, those were the first books. Well, they're the first books we come to, but they're not the first books written. But the early church, at the time of this letter, was undergoing a number of problems. And one of the major problems they were having was basically with fellowship. How did the Jews, now that we're reaching out to the Gentile world, and when you see the word Gentile in the New Testament, it simply means nations. It means all those people that aren't Jews. How did the Jews reach out to the rest of the world and bring them in and have fellowship with everybody else? And the problem they really had was the Jews lived a different kind of life from the Greeks and the Romans and the other people around them, especially in terms of their moral and ethics. If you looked at how the Greeks and the Romans lived, their morals weren't very high. Their sexual immorality was just accepted. And so how did the Jews reach out and have fellowship with these guys over here that didn't live the way the Jews thought that people should live? And how could they really be one with them? And that's really what a problem that Galatians is and the other books. How do we have fellowship with other people that may not be like us? That's the problem we still have today. The Jews, their solution was that, well, the way we can have fellowship with these people is they can just become like us. And sometimes that's sort of what we want to do. If everybody could just be like us, then we'd be fine with everybody. But the trouble is that doesn't always quite work that way. And that's really the thrust of so much of Galatians, Ephesians, and Romans, is how did the early church come together and have fellowship with so many different races of people, so many different backgrounds, and so many just different ways of living? How do they bring them together? The other idea that you see in Galatians in these is how are we right with God? Are we right with God because we live a really good life? And we have a lot of that idea. Or we right with God through Christ. And the simple gospel is that we're right with God believing in our faith in what Christ did, not in what we can do ourselves. Sin is breaking God's commands. It's breaking His. Sometimes we have the idea when we repent of our sins, we come back, Lord, we need to go back and make things right. Well, some things we can maybe go back and make right. But we don't make right things with God. Sin is against God's law. And there's no way we can go out and fix things that we did against God. That's where Christ comes in. He's the one that gave us a way of coming back and having being reconciled to being right with God. And we don't do it on our own merit, or we don't earn our way to heaven. Though it's sometimes hard for us to let go of that idea that we've got to do so many things, so many good things in order to get to heaven. And it's hard to let go of that idea. And the Jews had a hard time letting go of that idea, too. They had this idea that, you know, if we live really good and really moral and really upright lives, then we're going to be good with God based on what we've done. And it's hard to let go of that. That our relationship with God depends upon what Christ did on the cross and our belief in that. And that's where we are in Galatians. One of the ideas we're going to take a look at today, and Paul mentions briefly in Ephesians, is his own conversion. Paul's conversion from Judaism over to Christianity is one of the events mentioned more in the New Testament than anything else, say maybe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus himself. In the book of Acts, it's given three times in depth Paul's conversion. And Paul mentions it in many of his letters, as he does here in Galatians, and he does in Ephesians, and other places in the New Testament, he mentions it. Do you ever think about when you became a Christian? Your conversion, when you stood before, hopefully a group like this, and confessed that you believed in Jesus as the Son of God? When you're willing to be baptized into His name and humble yourself in baptism and rising to walk in a new life? It's good sometimes to go back and remember that. When I was doing this sermon, I went back and thought about my own life. And I realized that, and I know you're not going to believe this, but it was 51 years ago that I was baptized. That seems like a long time, 51 years ago. And I don't know when each one of you took the Lord on and were baptized into His name, but it's good to think back upon that sometimes, even if it is a long time ago, and sometimes our memory goes a little bit, maybe we don't remember things quite like we like to, and there's some things it's good to remind ourselves of. As Peter says in his writings, he said, I'm going to remind you of things, I know you know them, but I keep reminding you, because we forget things. And it's good to remember where we came from. And Paul is going to talk about that in this letter of Galatians. Look with me now in chapter 1. We're going to be picking up in verse 11. And notice what Paul begins this section with. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that's almost exactly what he says over in Ephesians. He talks about the mystery made known by revelation. One of the things Paul does in the beginning of Galatians is set forth his credentials. In the very beginning, in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, not from man or through man, but through Jesus Christ. There he sets out his commission. Apostleship was really a commission to be sent. You could be sent by a church or a group of men. Being an apostle simply meant one that had a commission to be sent. And Paul says, I'm an apostle, but I wasn't sent by a church. I wasn't sent by any group of men. I was sent by Jesus Christ Himself. And so my authority comes by who sent me, from Jesus. And then he goes on down and said that not only was I sent by Jesus, but the message I give you. I didn't learn this from Peter or James or John back in Jerusalem. I learned it from Jesus Christ Himself. And that's the point that Paul makes, and it's very important, that his credentials, his authority, his knowledge comes directly from Jesus. Excuse me. Now, the next part, he's going to now talk about his conversion and how he received the gospel. And you think about the gospel that Paul brings us, one of the ideas he's going to bring out is that this is the same gospel that Peter and James and John back in Jerusalem teach. James is actually, by the time this is written, probably has already been killed, but John and Peter are still there in Jerusalem. They may teach it from a different perspective, but it's the same gospel. It's the same thing we hold on to because it all came from Jesus. It is not something we thought up. It's not a group of men sat back in a room somewhere and came up with this, or somebody went in a cave and it was revealed to them. This was revealed to all the apostles, and it was sent out by all of these men by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that through the writings. And as he says in Ephesians, this is a mystery that's now been revealed. In other words, it wasn't revealed even in the Old Testament. Oh, but we have the scriptures that point towards it. But the whole message wasn't made known until now. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul makes one of the statements that's an amazing statement. He says that this gospel that we have was in God's mind or foreordained by God before time began. That's an amazing statement when you think about it. Before the ages, before time itself. In other words, we know that this universe, our heavens and earth, had a finite beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we know someday it will have an end. What Paul is saying is that before anything was created, before anything was here, before time itself began, God had planned our salvation. Our relationship with Him was planned way back then. Way back then, because it's back before even time itself. Now, that's kind of hard to get your arms around, that kind of thought, but that's the gospel that we have. This wasn't something God just thought of at the last minute. Before anything else even started, God had planned our salvation before him. Christ even coming for us on the cross. Look on down as Paul now talks about his life and his conversion. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my own people, so extremely zealous was I for the tradition of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who's called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that is Peter, and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria, Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God because of me. Now, if you look over to Acts in chapter 22, you see a more detailed account. What Paul is saying is that I at one time tried to destroy the church. And over in Acts in chapter 22, he brings out the idea, I was raised as a Pharisee. I was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a teacher that's mentioned a couple times in Acts. And actually, he's actually mentioned in the Jewish writings of this time we have separate from the Bible. He was one of the most respected Jewish teachers of all time. And Paul said, this is who trained me. I was born in Tarsus, but I was raised in Jerusalem at their very finest university at that time under Gamaliel. I was raised as a Pharisee, and I was strict. And it says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond other people my own age. In other words, his zeal was beyond compare. He was really trying to do. And what was he doing? When Acts chapter 22, he says, I was going around finding these guys called Christians, and I was putting them in prison and even putting them to death. That's what Paul was doing. He wasn't just persecuting the church by talking out against it, as sometimes he was going around finding Christians, putting them into prison. And then he said, and once they got into prison, if I could, I put them to death. I mean, that's how far he went. That's what Paul's background was. But then on the road to Damascus, as he was going to Damascus to get some more of these old Christians and put them into prison, Christ appeared to him and turned Paul around. So that this man that was once persecuting the church then becomes one of the strongest advocates that we ever have in the New Testament, part of the greatest missionary that we ever see. In the end of his section in Acts chapter 22, he talks about, I went back to Jerusalem, but needless to say, these people in Jerusalem didn't really trust me very well. I mean, they knew what I'd been doing. So then he goes back up to Tarsus in that area, and he stays there for about 14, 15 years. Before he comes back down to Jerusalem. And so he really works away from Jerusalem in that area. He's the perfect one to take the message of God to the Gentiles or to the nations. And that's the point that he makes. But he makes the point, too, that the message he takes, it's not the message that he was taught in Jerusalem, but it was a message he was taught directly from Jesus Christ himself. And so he takes this ministry. Look over to 2 Corinthians, and Paul refers to the ministry that he was given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, this is the message that we see so much in all of Paul's writings, in Corinthians and Romans and Galatians and Ephesians, the idea of how do we bring everybody together in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, according to what we might call the earthly body. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, but entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And now in this section, Paul really brings forth God's plan for his life and how he was going to bring the world together through Paul. And if you think about Paul, what better ambassador would there be to take the message of Jesus Christ from the Jews to the nations than this one who at one time had been, as Paul says, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the most zealous Jew of all. Now he's going to become the ambassador to take the message of Jesus to the whole world. And that's exactly what he does. And that's what he outlines here, that this is the message that he was given. Now in chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul talks about how really we're reconciled with Judaism and what we might call the rest of the world. In Acts chapter 15, we have a conference that goes on. This was one of the things that was almost splitting the early church, is how could these Jews accept these Gentiles and be one with them? In Acts 15, verse 1, the Jews said, well, the best way is that everybody, you guys just need to become Jews and become circumcised like us, and then everything will be good. Everybody becomes a Jew, and we won't have any more trouble. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Peter and James and everyone in Jerusalem meets, and they discuss this question, and they come to the conclusion that salvation is through Jesus Christ and not in keeping the law. In chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul's talking about that same issue. Whether or not this happened before Acts 15 or not, we don't really know. But it's the same issue. The issue is, how can we all come together? And listen to what Paul says, beginning in chapter 2, reading through 1 through 10. Then after 14 years after he had come to Christ, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. And I went up because of revelation set before them, though privately, to those who seemed to be influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had run my race in vain. Then Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because a false brother secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy on our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, though what they were makes no difference to me, God shows no partiality, those, who seemed to be influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted to the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter, through his ministry to the circumcised, worked through me and mine to the Gentiles. When James and Cephas, that is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given to me, they gave me the right hand of fellowship to me and to Barnabas, that we should go to the Gentiles and to the circumcised. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. Now, one of the things I want you to see in that reading is the importance that Paul puts on preserving the gospel. The idea that sometimes we get to, and we hear this and we mentioned it last week, that what matters is how you live. As long as you live a good life, that's all that matters. Or as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. Notice how much of importance Paul placed on preserving the simple gospel. It does matter what you believe. As we looked at last week, what you believe will determine how you really live your life. So what you believe is important. And Paul went through great lengths. He says, if you need to hold on to this gospel, even if I or an angel from heaven preach you another gospel, let him be accursed. That's strong language that Paul brings out. And here he brings through the idea of how important it is to hold on to that simple gospel. Paul says, I went to Jerusalem. I didn't go to Jerusalem because they called me. I didn't go because Peter and John, they were kind of worried about what we were teaching, so they sent messengers up to get me to come down. Paul says, that's not what happened at all. I went to Jerusalem by revelation from Jesus. One of the points Paul makes throughout all of his writings, that he reported directly to Jesus. And he went to Jerusalem by revelation. In other words, Jesus told me to go down there. And so I went. He was led by the Spirit. And he said, I set before them my message. Now, he goes through, I know my message to be true. But I sent before it to them so they could see that I was teaching and they could see what they were teaching. One of the ideas you read through the New Testament is the harmony within all the Scriptures. What Paul was preaching, what Peter was preaching, it was the same message. It was the same gospel. And that's why we can pick up books like Galatians, or we go over to Peter's writing of 1 Peter, or we go over to John's writing, and they all harmonize. It's the same message because it came from Jesus Christ Himself through the apostles. It wasn't like a group of men thinking it, because if you have a group of men, you would have different things. People disagree, and these people think that. These people think something else. But the gospel's harmonized because it all comes from Jesus and from God. And Paul goes through, I didn't yield anything. They didn't add anything to what I was teaching, and I didn't add anything to what they were teaching. We did not back down on any point. And that's the idea, too, that how important it is to hold on to just what I call the simple gospel. It's so easy for us to want to add some of our traditions or to add some of the things that we think are very good over here. But Paul makes great point that we need to hold on just to what God has given us, regardless of how good we think we can maybe improve it a little bit, or, you know, if we just add a little bit here or there, then it makes it much stronger. It's not stronger. The gospel is the gospel, and it's what God has given us. Remember, this was in God's mind before time itself began. The other point that Paul makes in this section is that he had his ministry and Peter had his. One of the things that Paul brings out is the importance of the ministry that God had given to him. Now think about us. Each one of us has a ministry that God has given to us to do. We have a role in His church. We're all part of the body of Christ. That's one of the points that Paul makes over in Romans and Corinthians quite vividly, is this idea that once you're baptized into Christ, you're part of Jesus yourself. And as part of your own body, you think about your body. What part of your body is not important? Well, you lose a part of your body, you find out that it's very important. This last time we were hiking about 2 weeks ago, I stubbed my little toe. Now, it's probably nothing on your body smaller than your little toe. But you let your little toe get very sore, and you find out you don't even walk very good. So there's not any part of our body that's not important. Well, that's the same way in Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. That means we're all important. We all have a role to play. Just as Paul brings out, I have my role to play, Peter had his role to play. We all have our place in the kingdom of our Lord. And we have a role and a ministry that was designed for us. And that's what Paul brings out here, his ministry. And we need to think about that ourselves, that we have a place in the Lord's kingdom. There are people that you know that you can bring the message to that maybe no one else can, quite like you can. That's the ministry that Paul had, because he could take the ministry to the Gentile nations better than anybody else. You think about Paul. He had been raised up in Tarsus, which was really in Asia. So he had that background. But he had also been raised in Jerusalem. So he had the background from both sides, so to speak, so he could take the message to the world. He was unique in that respect. But we, too, have places in our lives that we are unique. But it doesn't mean we don't overlap. Even if you go through Peter and Paul, you see that they did minister to each other and to the world. Peter writes the books of 1 and 2 Peter. They're written to the books of churches in Asia. So we know Peter did visit Antioch and these others that we'll read on next week into these other churches. We need to think about the message that we have and the importance of taking that message to the world, the ministry that God has given to each one of us. Remember in the end of 1 Thessalonians that we looked at a couple of weeks back, Paul says, I place you under oath to take this letter and read it to other churches. In other words, take the word of God and share it. That's as important to Paul as should be important to us. A few points, and the message is yours today. The first point, the gospel belongs to the Lord. It started with God before time began, and He brings it to us. It's not our place to improve upon it, to add to it, or to change it in any way. Sometimes it seems like to us it's just too simple. How can God truly forgive people of their sins and truly make them? Don't we have to add a little bit to that? You think about Paul. Paul quotes from David, as we looked at last week. Remember the quote from Psalms 32, the blessings of having sins forget covered and transgressions forgiven. Now that was said by King David. Paul could say the same thing. And it's not just that their sins are sort of forgotten or brushed aside. They could use things like, David would say, I'm white as snow. In other words, I'm pure before the Lord. The idea, we lose the imagery of being white as snow down here in Florida. But if you've ever seen snow after it's just covered the ground, everything's just beautifully white. And you get that idea of purity. Paul and David could say, I'm blameless, spotless, I'm pure before the Lord. Now you think about that. These were not men that did little sins. When I became a Christian, I was 11 years old. Now I don't know what great sins I had in my life, but probably did not have any terrible sins. But Paul and David did. They had murdered people. That's pretty big sin to have. Both David and Paul were guilty of murder. David had committed adultery and lying and cheating. I mean, these guys, they had the big sins. And yet, they could say that not only are our sins forgiven, but I could be pure and blameless without spot or blemish of any kind. That's total idea of whatever I did is not just brushed aside, but it's not even written in the book of life anymore. So I can truly be pure before God. That's the simple gospel, that we can be blameless when we come to the Lord. That the gospel is the word of God. That we each have our roles to play within His kingdom. Paul and Peter had their roles. We too have our roles. And we need to remember there's no partiality in the gospel. As we'll see later on in Galatians, the idea that we all stand before God. Not based on what we've done or what we've accomplished or what we know, but we all stand before the Lord because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And when we accept what Christ did for us, when we believe in Him, we're baptized into His death, we can arise and walk with Him all the same. And Peter can even make the statement that his faith is no better or no worse than our faith. They're all the same faith. And our standing comes before God because of the righteousness that comes through Christ. And the last thing he ends this section with that we'll talk about more in the weeks to come, we must remember the poor. We must remember each other. Remember how Paul ended Thessalonians? He entered Thessalonians with encourage the idle, the weak, the faint, the poor. In other words, remember each other. Regardless of whether or not you're a strong Christian or weak Christian, we're all together in the Lord. We all have a place in His kingdom. This morning, think about your place in His kingdom. If you've never become one with Christ, you've never started that walk with Him, why not start it this morning and put Him on in baptism? Or if you've started that walk, but you haven't been faithful to it, why not come back to Him in faith this morning and walk again with your Lord? If you need to come in any way, once you come, it's together we stand and sing.